Hello everybody and welcome to the Artists First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard, and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistsfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning into Unique Life Starring You. This show airs every Monday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For more information about the show and to listen to past shows for free, please visit artistsfirst.com/younique.htm. And don't forget to follow Artists First on Twitter. You can find us under the Twitter handle at artist_first. And now here is your host of Unique, Ms. Susan Stackpole.
Thank you, Corey, and thank you, listeners, for joining us here on YO Unique, Life Starring You. We are what we are because of you, and we sincerely thank you for joining us. Those of you who may be joining us for the first time, we'd like to welcome you and introduce you to a pet project we have here at Unique called Pray It Forward. There's studies that show that sending loving energy and prayers toward any sort of disconcerting situation actually changes the energy and improves the situation. And so we ask that with all the things going on in the media and anyone in your lives that you may know personally, we do believe that prayer makes a difference. And so we ask that you send some loving thoughts and prayers their way when you think of it. Tonight, we are very blessed to have with us an extra special guest who is just an amazing woman, and you'll want to get your notepads and paper out tonight because she's got some great insight to share with us. Trina Harmon is a well-known, successful songwriter and producer for artists such as Jessica Simpson, Nick Lachey, Nicole Scherzinger, Missy Higgins, Amy Grant, Vince Gill, Hilary Duff, Shadaisy, Jesse McCartney, Natalie Grant, and more. Trina's first hit single, When You Lie Next to Me, with Kelly Coffey, was on the 2003 country and pop charts for over 54 weeks and was awarded one of the most performed songs of 2003 by ASCAP, as well as helped Kelly win the Best New Female Artist at the 2003 Academy of Country Music Awards. Trina has had over 70 songs recorded by artists in almost every genre that have sold over 18 million albums worldwide in her writing career. It is at the peak of her career that she became acutely aware of the need of support for artists and those who work with them. Trina expanded her gifts in 2005 and also made a name for herself in the industry as the artist coach. Well-known artists, producers, songwriters, managers, actors, industry executives, and more work with Trina to intuitively and spiritually guide them through their professional and personal lives. Trina is traveling the country as a coach and speaker and helping others discover their true selves and their potential so they can make the greatest impact in the world, whatever they are called to do and be. Please visit Trina's website at www.trinaharmon.com. You can also find her on Twitter and Facebook as well. Thank you so much, Trina, for being here with us this evening.
Thank you, Susan.
We are just delighted, and it's just a special treat. And my goodness, you've been a busy lady.
Yes, it is a blessed life.
Trina, for those who may just be joining us and just being introduced to you for the first time, could you share with us a little bit about the role that music played in your life early on, if that was something that you were naturally drawn to or was drawn to you, and how you came to have your life as a songwriter?
Wow, we could spend a whole hour on that, probably.
just very briefly.
I was one of those rare kids that was just born with the gift to play piano. At 3 years old, I could just listen to a song that was playing on a commercial or a soap opera on TV and just go straight to the piano and start playing it. So it was very obvious that music was going to play a very big role in my life. Obviously, I didn't know what that was. It's really interesting. I had kind of a little tough childhood, and to deal with it, I would lock myself in my music room and I would just play piano until things calmed down outside, you know, and I would get bored with all of my sheet music and playing everything that I knew, so I would just start writing my own songs. And that's really how I discovered that I could write songs, and I just had the natural ability to know how to do that. So eventually, you know, I graduated from high school, and I actually went and got a degree in recording engineering, which is so opposite of songwriting. I really didn't know what I was doing. I grew up in this little town in Kansas of 400 people, and, you know, there was no music industry around me. There were no people really guiding me in that way. So, but it all made sense in the end because I ended up in the studios producing and recording all my own music and eventually finally made my way to Nashville and smartened up and realized that was truly my gift. And if you have the desire to do something, you're always given the means to fulfill it. I truly believe that.
You just answered my next question without me even asking, Trina. I was going to ask you if you had any advice for our aspiring musicians and songwriters and anyone who feels like they have a dream, especially if they feel like maybe they don't have the support around them or people they would like encouraging them. What other advice would you offer them in terms of moving forward? Because I think sometimes that's a sticking point for people, that they're looking for an outward sign that they have talent or they're meant to do it, and sometimes completely disregard that drive that they have inside.
You know, this is such a great question. I was just getting off the phone with a client that was going through this very same thing. She sat down with a music producer and a great writer himself, and he told her he saw her more as a songwriter than he did as a performing artist. And that if she was going to put all of her energy into something, that it should just be songwriting. And it broke her heart. And she called me to ask me if I thought he was right. And I let her talk more than I did. Because this girl did not need my opinion as to what I thought, you know, compared to how hard the industry is, how hard it is to break open today and make a living as an artist. Like, she did not need my opinion in that. What I wanted was for her to convince me that she was a performer. And I think that if you have to question, should I do this, or if someone can talk you out of it, then you're probably not meant to do this, honestly. You're probably not meant to be an artist. Because being an artist in today's industry especially, and in today's world, it takes your whole life. There is no separation. You know, how you're living in your spiritual life is going to be your artist life. How you are living in your relationship, how you are with your relationship with money, it is going to be your artist process and your creativity. When you're stuck in money, you're going to be stuck in writing. You know, when you're stuck in loving yourself, you're going to be stuck in creating and finishing products. And so it does. It requires your whole life. So if you're questioning it, then don't do it. Go do something easier. But, you know, to say for artists that don't have the support in their lives, I don't know a successful artist that did have that support. I mean, it's very rare. And I think it's just kind of a rite of passage. It's what makes us the most profound artists, because we really have to find the purpose. We're doing it. It can't be just because everybody tells us we're so good at it and that it's easy and they just hand it to us. You know, I think the fact that we have to fight for it, that we have to really build our own self-esteem and our own self-awareness is what makes us the better artist in general.
I agree, Trina. I think that's an excellent point. There's so many artists that we've had even on this program that define that very same point was a turning point for them in their career in terms of how badly do you want it and how much are you willing to work for it. And a lot of times it develops the character that comes through in the music that people really can relate to. Like, wow, that person went through a hard time too, and look how they came through it and look how they used it to shape them as an artist and as a person and that sort of thing. I think that's such an excellent point. Thank you for sharing that.
Of course. You know, so many artists would come to me back in the day when I was really full-time songwriting. You know, every day I was writing with another artist, and they would all come in with the same mission. They wanted to inspire people. and I'm like, okay, after a while, that just sounds like blah, 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 blah. Like, and so what I was looking at, well, where are you inspiring? Where are you inspired?
Right.
And I think a lot of artists, you know, at first we kind of want to just have the surface conversation, but we don't really want to be living it. We don't really want to tell people where we're fearful. We don't really want people to see our authentic selves. We don't want them to see our insecurities. But those are the artists that we love, the ones that really dig into the truth of their lives and they write about it and they sing about it. And, you know, I always say the only rules in songwriting that I use is you can only write what you know and you can only write what's true.
I think those are...
And, yeah, and that tends to create the material that people buy.
Absolutely, and it is sort of what ends up being sometimes the breath of fresh air in the music industry where everything sounds the same, and then someone comes along and they're telling the story from their perspective in a way that really resonates with people. And
one
of the things you touched on that I think is so crucial and is this idea of authenticity, especially in the music business and in any industry. It's interesting because from an economic standpoint, the more unique something is, the more it is perceived as being valuable. If you look at someone like, say, Oprah Winfrey, one of a kind. Speak to us a little bit about the importance of authenticity and how it relates both in artistic creativity and also in doing anything in life, how significant that is in terms of happiness and success.
Well, I think authenticity is really the key to living a full life, because what you truly believe about yourself, what you know about yourself, what you feel about yourself is always going to be reflected back to you by the world. And so if there's a part of you that you want to avoid or you want to hide or you want to deny, then that's still going to be acting out in your life, whether you're avoiding it, hiding from it or not. You're always going to attract those results of people who are hiding from you or people who aren't telling you the full truth or, you know, people who just aren't buying your record. And so authenticity is everything. And I think that it takes some real mindfulness even to really, truly know yourself. I can't tell you how many times in sessions that I have with clients in every realm of the industry and even outside of it, where they'll make a statement and they'll say, well, I don't care about such and such and such. And I'll say, okay, is that true? And the moment they just take a couple seconds and they listen to that statement, they'll say, well, no, that's not true. And so I think that we tend to get habitual in the way that we talk and the things that we say out of protecting ourselves, out of, you know, putting off a certain perception. And we might even think it's true, but when you really get mindful about it, a lot of things we say about ourselves are not true. And it's about getting kind of beyond our mind and really connecting to our soul's truth and connecting to how we feel. And it creates a whole new reality in front of you. And so, of course, this plays a big part in songwriting and book writing, in making movies and script writing. I mean, it plays a huge part in your role as an artist. You know, our fans today, they will call you out if you're not being authentic. And they will call you out in the worst of ways, right? We see it. We see it on the Internet, unfortunately. And people have way too much access to you to not be. And I think that, you know, I'm kind of happy that the state of our industry is in turmoil right now in terms of the label system and the way things used to be and what used to sell an artist doesn't sell an artist anymore, because we can't just pop songs on a singer and dress her up and go out and sell millions of records anymore. You know, the world is longing for authenticity and to know themselves more through the music that they choose to listen to. And that will only come if the artist is doing that themselves. And artists like Adele, who had one of the biggest records of this past year, you know, she defied all odds. First of all, she's a woman. Second of all, she is not a size zero. No,
right.
She wrote a lot of ballads. I mean, she had one of her slowest ballad was the biggest single of the year. So, you know, she defied all odds. But what was that album about? Authenticity. We could listen to it, and we could see where she has been for the past year in her life. And people bought it. And they continue to buy it.
That's such an excellent point, Trina. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And Anyone who's just tuning in, we're here with the very beautiful and talented Trina Harmon. Please visit Trina's website at www.trinaharmon.com, and that's TrinaHarmon.com. She's also on Facebook and Twitter. Trina, one of the things that came to mind when we were talking about authenticity and sharing that there are certain things we say to ourselves that we are habitually repeating that we are almost subconscious to the point that we do not take the time to look and say, oh, is this true and does this really apply? And sometimes it sort of falls into the category of making excuses for ourselves of why things don't work out or victimizing ourselves in the way that things happen. And one of the things that you're really adept at is revealing to people the blessing in any situation in shifting perspective from it happening to you to it happening for you. And I would love to have you share with us a little bit about why that's so important and how that can help people step out of a space where they're making excuses or they're even unknowingly victimizing themselves and to be in a more empowered position.
Well, I do. I love that phrase and live by that phrase of everything in life is happening for you, not to you. And the way that we choose to see it, you know, we can't always control our circumstances. We are not in control of anything in this life. Whether, you know, a lot of people think they're very controlling people. You're not. It's all an illusion. You don't control anything. You can think that, but you're really not. But we can choose how we look at things and how we feel about things and how we perceive things. And our perception becomes our reality. So when we begin looking at it, everything happening for us, it's really about having that faith that our soul is here and wants to grow, wants to learn certain lessons, wants to overcome certain challenges, certain beliefs, so that it can grow and so that we can be free to live our fullest potential and not be trapped and holding ourselves back in our fear and our excuses and our victimhood. So the idea that everything happens for you, it really requires you to connect to your source energy, to connect to God energy, you know, to connect to the universal support and say, I don't believe that there is a God out there that would just put us here to suffer. Right. And you know, we are here because we want to experience a human life in a body, but we're still spiritual beings. So when we choose to look at, you know, why is this happening for me? If I chose to be in this moment right here, right now, why would this be happening for me? You know, I even take this deeper and say, if I chose any of these moments, chose the details of my life, why would I have chosen that father? What was that for me? You know, why would I have chosen to grow up in that little town that had no music, no music business in it? Why would I have chosen, you know, that painful experience that I went through? And these are the bigger questions that you want to examine for your life, because often it'll be revealed of a lesson that you learned or a new self-awareness or, you know, just a deeper entry into forgiveness. And that's really the key to everything.
And that's such a significant point, Trina. And I'm going to circle back around because forgiveness is such a trending topic right now. One of the things that you touched on, it was such an excellent example of why, especially for you, being a songwriter and growing up in an area maybe where there was no music and that sort of thing. Can you give an example? There's a lot of people who've been going through a lot of transition, whether it be relationships or health issues or economical career issues. Mm-hmm. Take maybe a minute to go through the steps of how somebody can shift from seeing it happening to them to happening for them. Because I think sometimes we get it in theory. However, the practical application of it, especially when you're in the midst of it and it doesn't feel so great, like, oh, wow, like, you know, the job that you know, they maybe really didn't love, however it was paying the bills, all of a sudden that's gone. Can you walk people through how to see the opportunity in that?
Sure. I think one of the first steps you want to do is ask yourself, what do you really, really want? One day I was having coffee with a girl, and she had done an album, and she tried to market it a little bit, didn't sell that much, she didn't make that much money, and she told me, I'm done chasing the music thing, I'm done chasing the writing thing, I'm okay with that even, and I just want to pay my bills, Trina. I just want to pay my bills. And I had to look at her, because I'm an intuitive coach, and say, you're lying. That's not what you want. You don't want to just pay your bills. She had convinced herself of that, but it wasn't true. I said, what do you really want? And she had a job that was kind of pushing her out, too. The job was not working out. The day job wasn't working out so great. And she didn't have much money. And I said, what do you really want? You don't want to just pay your bills. And she said, well, and she couldn't even think of it. She was so blocked, she couldn't figure it out. Trina, I'm serious. I just need money. I just want to feed my family. And I said, okay, if you could have anything that you could possibly dream of and you knew you couldn't fail at it, all you had to do is ask God and he was going to deliver it, no matter what it was, nothing too big or too small. What would you want right now in this life, in this moment of your life? And she said, I want to write a book about something that I went through 7 years ago, and it's been on my mind, and I've always felt that I'd write a book about it, and that's what I would do. And I said, what's your book about? And she told me the title, How My Husband's Affair Saved Our Marriage.
Wow.
And I went, yeah, exactly. That was my response. I went, oh, my gosh, you have to write that book. And she said, well, Trina, I've never written a book. I don't know how to write a book. I don't know the first thing about writing a book, and I'm not a writer. And I'm like, are you serious? You've just spent the last 12 years of your life writing songs. You're not a writer? You're an incredible singer. You lead praise and worship at your church. You're not a writer? You read scripture every day. You journal. You're not a writer? I said, can you talk? And she said, yes. I said, can you observe things? She said, yes. I said, can you feel? And she said, yes. I said, then you're a writer. That's all you need. Can you have a conversation? Yes. Well, then you're a writer. And you see, what happened is when she started leaning into doing the book, which she loved, by the way, when I just gave her permission to do that, she went for it. I met with her every week after that, and every week she had two or three more chapters written.
Wow.
It was just pouring out of her. And the day job, you know, the day job started getting better. The money situation started pouring in. They were being blessed with surprise checks in the mail. They didn't even know where they came from. I mean, and that's what happens when you get into the flow. But do you see, her lack of money that was coming in was for her. Because God's not going to bless you when you're avoiding your true calling.
That's such an excellent point, Trina. Thank you. That was a really vivid example of how things like happening for her, exactly what you were sharing about the job situation, helped motivate her to do what it is that she was really meant to be doing. And it sounds as if that book definitely can help millions of people.
And the truth is, money is just energy. You know, houses is just stuff. Jobs are just opportunities to be of service. And that's not what we're really here for. You know, we're not, I can't see where something's happening for us so we can get a lot more money. You know, it's really a much more spiritual path. And it's always so that we can know ourselves more and experience ourselves as who we truly are, as how God sees us and loves us. And it's always about loving ourselves more.
That's such an excellent point, Trina. And one of the things that you help people see, and you said this a little while ago, about perception creates reality. And I would love for you to share with us a little bit about the importance of the meaning that we attach to things and how by shifting that meaning, that within seconds, it shifts our perspective and can align us with our purpose and help all these other things you were just mentioning, career, relationship, finances, all of it come into alignment.
Well, we have to go back to the basics on this one. and that is the belief system that we have today is a belief system that was completely programmed within us by age 8, if not by age 6. By age 8, we have set up a belief of how men are, how women are, what love is, what love is not. We have beliefs about money, our value, our self-worth, our looks, our ability to receive love. I mean, everything is set up by age 8, if you can imagine. I mean, what were you even doing at age 8? You know, but that's how ingrained it becomes. So as we become adults and something happens, we attach a meaning to it based on that 8-year-old belief system. So if somebody, this happens all the time, especially in our industry, a client will call and say, well, I called, you know, the A&R guy or the manager, but they never called me back. You know, and it's been like 3 days. And they didn't call me back, so I'm pretty much giving up. And I'm like, well, what are you making that mean that they didn't call you back? Well, then I'm not good enough. Well, then I'm, you know, I'm not important enough. Well, that I'm not, blah, blah, blah. And I said, what if it, all that's happened is the guy is on vacation and he's not answering his voicemails yet? What if it is because the guy loves you and he's trying to put it up the flagpole to make sure he has the budget to sign you and he wants to have that answer before he calls you? What if he's going through a horrific personal issue of his own and he doesn't want to talk to you while he's in that energy field? You know, but we don't think of those things. We only put meaning to it based on our 8-year-old belief system that says, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, I'm not important enough.
So would you say then that our beliefs, or I mean our the meaning that we attach reflects back to us what we really believe? Meaning that,
yes,
like that situation you were just describing, if it was someone who was fully confident in their talent and really felt they had something significant to offer as an artist or performer or even accountant or whatever the situation might be, that they would be more inclined to actually think of those possibilities rather than immediately going to the space of, oh, I must not be good enough, and they immediately rejected me.
Not only would they be more inclined to think of those possibilities, but the truth is they wouldn't be attached to it at all. So they wouldn't even have to sit around and go, gee, I wonder why he's not calling me back.
Because they have the validation already inside, they're not looking for it on the outside.
Yeah.
Got
when
it.
You are spiritually being led, you're fine with people not calling you back. Because if people aren't calling you back, that means they're not your people. You move on. You know, spirit will put your people in your path. And spirit will take away the people that are not supposed to be in your path. So when people don't call me back, I say, thank you. That's one less person I have to figure out. I hate it when people call me just to be nice. Or when people say yes to me when they really want to say no. You know, I certainly don't do that anymore in my life. And I don't like it when people do it to me because I don't want people wasting my time. I want people who are aligned with me, who are supposed to be on this journey with me at this time, at this place. And the only way that that's happening is if they're as passionate as I am or are being fed as much as I am, right?
Yeah.
And so I don't want to try and convince somebody that I'm good enough for them. But see, that takes self-esteem, doesn't it? That takes total knowing yourself and authenticity. And it takes forgiveness. Again, it takes forgiving those who didn't like you. Forgiving the parents that didn't support you. Forgiving the people who didn't show up. Because as long as you're holding a sword over their head, you're holding a sword over your own. And you will be looking at other people to fill in that gap for you and to validate you and to justify that you are good enough, you are worthy to be in this world. And I think that's what the whole point is that we're supposed to just know that. You know, it's just easier to just believe that now. Because every person outside of us is just our mirror.
Everything you were just saying, Trina, is so fascinating to me. I was watching an interview, actually a pastor was giving about Jesus, and he was talking about the fact that Jesus did not have fear, And he said that one of the reasons why was because Jesus knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, completely secure in the knowledge that he was God's beloved son. And he said if we could get to that space in our lives, all these things that we struggle to deal with would just disappear. And I was thinking as you were talking about authenticity and forgiveness, that idea of Jesus came to mind, that he knew who he was and that he was here to forgive.
Jesus didn't walk around saying, I don't want to sound arrogant, but I can heal you.
Right.
I don't want this to sound strange. I don't want to offend you.
Right.
But I can help.
Right, exactly.
Right. But that, as artists, we kind of act like that. We say, well, I don't want to sound cocky, but, right? Or I don't want to offend people, or I don't want to make people think I'm good. It's like, why not?
Right, because I think
the artists that embody and feel empowered and embody their fullest potential. We love that.
Right, and I think, too, one of the things that Jesus constantly acknowledged is that his gifts were from the Father, and so it kept him in this space of grace and humility and that sort of thing. And so I think that might be the difference too, between when we're really being authentic and when maybe the ego is trying to maybe drive the car a little bit. Correct?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I always say being an artist is a spiritual job, and there's no getting around it. So if you think that you are this powerful, that you are this creator, and that you know, everything that's coming out of you is you, you're going to have a bumpy ride. And your ego is going to take some blows, and you're going to be exhausted, and you're going to be stressed, and in the moments that do come that could be celebrated, you're going to be worrying about the next one, because, you know, there is no human being that can really hold that much success and that much energy and that much pressure and that much expectation on them. So the spiritual job of it becomes when we just surrender to the idea that we're the faucet, we're not the water.
I love that. That's such a powerful metaphor. And
when you are tapped into that, then you can be confident. I don't have to be confident that I'm going to be perfect every time that I speak or every time that I write something. I'm confident that I can be a vessel for brilliance to flow through. That's what I focus on. I just focus on staying open to receiving, staying open to listening. And as long as I'm there and present in my body, it usually turns out much better than if I would have planned it out.
Absolutely. Anyone who's just joining us, we're here with the gifted and marvelous Trina Harmon. Please visit Trina's website at www.trinaharmon.com, TrinaHarmon.com. You can also find her on Facebook and Twitter as well. Trina, you're raising such amazing points about how spiritual awareness correlates to every area of our life. And one thing that you've mentioned a couple times and is actually a very popular topic right now in our culture is this idea of forgiveness. I think there's a lot of people attempting to get their heads around, why is it important? What does it mean? And how do I do it? What are your thoughts in terms of where maybe if somebody's saying, "Oh, I there's nobody I need to forgive. I'm at peace, or I don't hold grudges." What would be the first step in people recognizing areas in their life, whether it's something about themselves or something about someone in their life that's asking for forgiveness?
Well, I haven't met a person yet that doesn't have a problem. Little, big, small, whatever it is. And wherever there is a problem, there is something or someone wanting to be forgiven.
Wow.
And it's as simple as that. So, you know, I'm pretty peaceful in my life. I don't tend to project my anger or insecurity or fear on other people much anymore. I'm pretty mindful of that. So I can easily sit down and go, I just am not that angry at people, where I used to be angry at everybody. I was angry at the world. But, you know,
as he says with a smile.
I can sit down and go, I just can't think of anybody that I hate. You know, I can't think of anyone that I just cannot be in a room with because I've done a lot of this work. But I can look at my life and go, where are there any stresses in my life today? Is there anything that can knock me off center? Is there anywhere that I feel I have a problem? And, you know, for me, like, it's taxes. It's money. You know, it's tax season. That can knock me off my center because I don't want to do it, and I feel like it's too hard, and I get scared. I'm not going to have enough, and, you know, it goes by every year. And so I'm like, okay, well, that's my problem. What wants to be forgiven? Well, what's crying to be forgiven there is forgiving myself for how I manage money, or forgiving myself of the beliefs that I have about my worth or value or scarcity. And that, you know, just contemplating that might turn up like this little bit of resentment that my parents never taught me about money. You know, and so then that might want to be forgiven. So it takes some mindfulness. But wherever there is a problem, something or someone wants to be forgiven. And, you know, as a coach, no matter who I'm coaching, whether it's a pro athlete or an artist or an executive or just a housewife in Oklahoma, like, whatever their problems are, they all have the same solution, and that is forgiveness. And people want to save that to the last, or they think that's not important, or they think that's too hard. But it is the key. It is the key to freedom. It is the key to self-esteem. It is the key to loving yourself completely. And it's not just a trending topic. It is an essential practice that must start today. And if you are unwilling to forgive, then I think that you're just going to continue going through the breakdown of your life until you surrender and do so. And I think that's what's happening right now in 2012, and the energy is certainly shifting, and we're moving into higher consciousness. This is what's happening for people, where they are avoiding their lives, where they are denying the problem, where they are wanting to just, you know, put it aside. It's showing up in their face in a big way.
Yes, it is.
And it is not going away, right?
No, it is not. I can attest to that even in my own life. This is the year that anything that, where we maybe got time off for good behavior in years past, of, okay, this is crunch time, that we're really being asked to get the lessons and get them in a quick way and step up to the plate. I feel like God's got big plans for everyone, and he's got to, you know, got to get us all, you know, spring training. That's what I feel like is going on.
Yeah. And for those who aren't as connected to God, you know, we have big plans for ourselves. We are in a world right now where we're not just in man-made problems. We're having spiritual problems in our world that can't just be solved with the mind. And so however you connect to your source, however you connect to your higher self, it's essential now. And that is where you're going to find the power to be going through today's world. That is where, and it's there for you. It's an infinite source of power. You're not just on your own to figure things out. And I think that's what people need to know the most right now. I think people do feel so abandoned or so victimized. And we want to sit around and watch the news and see there, I can prove it. See that a politician is lying, or see that pastor just got arrested and I knew it. You know, like, we're seeing. It's time that we stop listening to everybody else and that we really get mindful and start listening to ourselves. And that's what I do in coaching. You know, I don't tell you things you don't know. I help you remember what you do know.
You made a really great point just now too, Trina, about to stop listening to what's going on outside and start listening to what's going on inside. We live in a society where there's a constant opportunity to tune out of ourselves, that we're constantly being stimulated by media and the minute we wake up to the minute we go to sleep and everything in between. And it does, I think, take a little bit of a conscious practice to step into that space and say, okay, I'm going to tune in and that sort of thing. Trina, what advice would you have for people? There's a lot of people who are afraid to do that. They're afraid, what if I look inside myself and I don't like what's there? What advice would you have for them to take the first step in beginning to do that so they can start to get the results that you and other people who are saying, you know, forgiveness and all these spiritual awareness keys in applying them? What's the first step when you're afraid of what you're going to find?
Honestly, I think the first step is to find someone to go through the journey with you. And not just a friend, not your boyfriend, certainly not your husband, but a professional coach, a pastor, counselor, someone who can hold this possibility for you and see the truth about you and has no attachment to your outcome and who you are and who you choose to be. I know I couldn't have done it without a coach, and it's not like I got there and then stopped having coaching. I still have teachers in my life. In fact, I have four or five, you know, and I always have them, and especially when things are going great, I especially go to them. Because now I'm not just having to manage the crisis. Now I get to create and really grow in the spaces, that to the expansiveness that I want to live my life and the fullness that I want to live. So I think the first step, honestly, is to get someone to help you. Because what happens is if you, I know for myself, I will speak for myself, if I just start thinking about the things that I'm afraid of knowing about myself, and I start remembering those things I did that I'm ashamed of, and then I feel guilty, and then I feel angry, and then my mind will probably say, well, you shouldn't feel guilty about that because blah, 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 or you shouldn't feel angry because that's not a godly way to be. Like, I'm tricking myself. It's like feelings are wanting to come up, and then I'm wanting to suppress them back down. And you wouldn't have things you're afraid of if they weren't suppressed within you. And there's a reason why they're suppressed. There's a reason why you haven't allowed yourself to release that yet. And I think just doing it in our own minds is dangerous. And I know I'll just shut it down and go eat, or I'll just go start watching TV because it gets hard to think about because I don't know how to process that stuff. And even, I've had a full-time coaching practice for 8 years. I studied this. I have a meditation practice. I have a prayer practice. I still need a teacher to just center myself in my own stuff because I'll just get lost in it and I won't see another way because I felt this way for 40 years, I don't see another way. And that's why you want someone with you that does, and that's what Jesus Christ did in healing. That's what the healer does. Jesus Christ, when he stood with the leper to heal him, he didn't see the leprosy. He didn't see the problem. And the leper, being in that expansive space of possibility and no problem, he couldn't believe in his own problem either. And that's where the healing occurs.
I love that. That's such an excellent metaphor. And one of the things you were talking about, Trina, even in the coaching process that I was thinking of, is in athletic training, that say somebody wants to learn to play basketball or whatever it is, that they might have a particular habit, a way of dribbling the ball or running or something like that, that they just have always done it that way, so they think nothing of it. And yet they have a coach, someone like yourself, that comes in and takes a look at them and says, well, wait, maybe if you just shifted yourself a little bit this way or ran in this particular way or dribbled in this particular way, that all of a sudden their entire game has changed. And on a spiritual level, that's essentially what working with a spiritual coach or a spiritual teacher like yourself helps us do, is make those subtle adjustments that have these massive ripple effects throughout our lives.
Absolutely. And notice how athletes don't wait until they've lost the job before they start coaching.
Right.
They don't
absolutely
wait until they're completely injured before they do the coaching. They go in, even the quote-unquote wrong way or the less effective way that they're doing it, it might even look like it's working because they score sometimes.
Right.
So, and I think we get that in our life. We go, well, it's working. I'm making a decent living, so it's working. Or, I do have a boyfriend, so it's working. But then what I would ask you is, yeah, but are you happy? Are you living your fullest potential? are you living your dream? Is this everything you've ever wanted? Because if not, then there's room to grow. And a lot of times we don't even think that way. You know, I certainly grew up in an environment that said that's just the way life is and that's what you got to deal with.
Right, that happiness is not the ultimate sort of opportunity or possibility for you. You just sort of have to deal with the cards that you've been dealt with. And Trina, what advice could you give us in terms of, a lot of people shut themselves down before they even let themselves dream, in terms of when you ask them, well, what is it you really desire, they automatically shift to what they think is possible for themselves and completely short-circuit the process. What advice would you offer for people to step into that space of just being impossibility without judging it, without saying, oh, well, that'll never happen for me, and to sort of shut down that ego mind?
Well, you know, I think, first of all, we are so habitually thinking about what we don't want all the time that I'm stunned at the amount of people, when I ask them what they do want, it takes them a while to think about it because they just are not used to thinking that way. So I think number one is just open up the conversation. What do I want? And stay away from, well, I just don't want this, or I don't want that, or if I could at least get this or at least get that. It's like, no. You want to think of it in terms of, if the universe was one huge big kitchen, just like you go to a restaurant and you order bacon and eggs, what comes? Usually bacon and eggs, right?
Usually,
and
yes.
If you order your eggs scrambled, guess what way they come? Scrambled. Or you can order them poached, medium well, and they come poached medium well. And we expect it to, right? We just have faith that they're going to deliver our order.
Right.
Well, how is it any different with God? God says, I will provide all your needs. I want you to have all the desires of your heart. Ask and you shall receive. So what if your conversation that's going on in your head is just you placing your order in a kitchen where anything is available? And not only can you ask for what you want, you can even build the recipe. I love it when people say, well, I want to be a successful performing artist, but it's going to be hard, it's going to take a long time, and I don't have enough money. And I'm like, how do you know those things? Wow, that's a recipe of disaster right there.
It's a value statement, right, that we place a value statement on our worth, meaning that I think sometimes that we don't believe it's possible for us because we don't believe that we're worthy. It's like, well, God can do it for someone else. I don't know if, you know, I'm worthy of him doing it for me. And I think sometimes that can be what gets in people's way also. So then they start to put all these caveats and all these limits and all these definitions on exactly what you said. It's like, how do you know that? Maybe you're going to walk out your door tomorrow and God's going to drop this amazing opportunity into your lap.
I see it happen all the time.
Right.
I see miracles happen all the time, but that's what, you know, we often talk about the miracle, right? The miracle is just a shift in perception.
Amen.
And it's not about, you know, walking around in this spiritual denial saying, everything is easy for me, I have plenty of money all the time, and everything I want just off of my lap. It's not that. We don't just get what we want. We get what we are. So it's really just about living present. And not putting our energy towards how long it's going to take or how hard it is or how much in lack of abilities or funding or love that we're really in. You know, it's about being present and just being focused on what it is that I want, and am I being available for what I want, and am I mirroring what I want? Am I living like a successful artist today? Am I living like a person who's available and open for a relationship? You know, am I living as though I have more than enough money paying my bills, doing what I love? Or am I making choices every day that counteract all of that? And the power lies in the choice. Your power always lies in your choice. And every moment we make that choice. And those choices, we make them out of two different emotions, right? We make them out of love, you know, a peaceful feeling, or we make them out of fear. Well, I fear this, so I have to do that. They say, well, Trina, I have to have a day job. If I don't, I won't have any money, and I'll lose my house. Will you? You know, and so we just continue doing the day job. and then they get opportunities to play or opportunities to tour. They get an opportunity for a meeting and they can't go because they got the day job. It's like, what are you committed to? And when we commit to, when we stop thinking we know how it's supposed to work, or we know the only way it's going to work, which is what gets us in trouble. It's better when we don't know. When we say, well, I know that I'm committed to being an artist, or I know that I'm committed to doing what I love for money, and I don't know how that's going to happen. But I'm willing to release what doesn't work, and I'm willing to receive what will. And I trust that the universe will provide that for me. I trust that God will provide my needs. And you see, this is why our spiritual area of our life, our spiritual belief system, it's not enough just to believe in God. We have to start believing God and activating those things,
promises
and those miracles, right? And the spiritual area, where we are in our relationship with our God, which is also the same as the relationship with ourselves. We can't say, oh, I trust God, I just don't trust myself. There's no such thing.
Right.
We can't say, I have faith in God, I just don't have faith in other people. Well, then you're not having faith in God. You're saying the other people are stronger than God. You're saying the music industry is more powerful than God.
Right, exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And I'm not going to say that. That's not my God. You know, so it's about just surrendering, releasing how you think it's supposed to work, and committing and making those choices. And earlier you were talking about, you know, Jesus being so assured that I am God's son. And so he never questioned that. You know, in A Course in Miracles, which is a psychotherapy based on all spiritual belief systems that I really enjoy studying, Jesus Christ is quoted as saying, you were born with everything I was. You just have something I don't. And that is your fear.
Right.
And God didn't create fear. We made that up. And most things we fear don't even come true. What is that famous quote? Spend most of my life fearing what isn't even doesn't even happen.
Right, exactly. Well, Trina, my goodness, you certainly have shared a wealth of information with us, and we could go on talking with you all night. We have just about 30 seconds here to wrap up. For anyone who's just joining us, we're here with the lovely and talented Trina Harmon, www.trinaharmon.com. Trina, any final words of wisdom or a particular mantra that you enjoy that you would like to leave with our listeners tonight?
Well, you know, one of my favorite mantras, and actually I have many, but one that I'm using this week is, I am giving this all the meaning it has for me. So that's the one I'm living this week, and I'll share that with the listeners. To look around you and realize where you're putting your meaning onto it and where it might be stunting your growth a bit, or it may be holding you back.
Wow.
And release the meaning and, you know, be more open to the actual truth. And, you know, nothing here is threatening you, only your mind. Your mind is not your friend. And I really do encourage people to join my Facebook page, which is just facebook.com/Trina Harmon. I post on there almost every day and just have great conversations there, and you can really connect with me there. And even if you feel like you can't afford coaching right now or anything like that, and I do, I take people all over the world over the phone, but come to my Facebook page, and I have a lot of audio meditations you can download for free on my website. So I do. I tend to... You know, I want to support everyone that is interested in this conversation and just wants to start exploring it for themselves.
Right. Well, thank you.
Coaching for life.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being with us, Trina. You just are such a blessing, and the work you do is amazing. And I would also reiterate supporting people in connecting with you and just really continuing to learn from all your great insights and the wisdom that you've shared with us. So thank you so much for joining us, Trina. It's a real honor and delight. We really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You're so welcome. It's so fun. And feel free to reach out to me, anybody.
And thank you, listeners, for joining us here on YOU Unique, Life Starring You.